Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in, or perhaps you found the program. I want to tell you that I am Father Cedric Pazegna. I am a passionist priest and a religious, and we have a wonderful dedication to the cross of Jesus, to the passion of Jesus. We meditate upon his passion and his love for us. And we passionists are located in 60 countries throughout the world and in many different places here in the United States. This particular program is being broadcast to you from Houston, Texas, in this beautiful chapel that we have here at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston. But I wanted to let you know about one of our monasteries in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm on TV in Scranton. There's a Catholic TV station there that broadcasts my program, and I've met so many people there in Scranton. And I wanted to tell you that every year they have what's called a novena to St. Anne at that monastery in Scranton. Thousands of people come. They are bused from Pittsburgh, New York, and the surrounding areas, and thousands of people come to every day of that novena. It's a very beautiful. There's five services a day, about 1,000 people at every service. Well, I had the privilege of preaching at that novena, and the people were everywhere. What you're about to see is the 8:30 service in the morning. It was the first service of the day. People brought their lawn chairs and they sat out in the hot July sun. But they came because they wanted to hear the Word of God. And they came because they wanted to worship God. So we're going to go to the recorded live preaching now. Stay tuned. And I pray that this will inspire you and touch your heart. Today's scripture reading, we heard about the sign of Jonah. And it reminded me of a story about this little girl. She was a second grader, and she was in a class, and the teacher was teaching her about whales. And the teacher said, you know, although whales are very big, they have very small throats, and there's no way that they could ever swallow a human being. And the little girl raised her hand and said, well, teacher, it says in the Bible that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And then the teacher reiterated, I have to tell you, as I said, they're large mammals, but they have very small throats. There's no way they ever could have swallowed a human being. And the little girl says, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask them how it happened. And the teacher said, well, what if you went to hell? And then the little girl says, then you ask them. So I wanted to talk with you this morning about the sign of Jonah. That's what we heard in the gospel today, this beautiful sign of Jonah. And I wanted to tell you the theme of our novena is called Passion for Christ. Yesterday we heard the bishop talk about the various passionists that he knew or at least met and who influenced him and gave him passion for Christ. And I wanted to tell you this morning, in addition to the people that we can meet, there's also something else that brings passion for Christ. I wanted to tell you that the passion of Christ brings passion for Christ. And let me talk about this sign of Jonah. Jesus said in the gospel that there's not going to be any signs given to us except the sign of Jonah. And so I wanted to talk about this sign of Jonah because we're all very familiar with signs. We drive on the road, we see stop signs, yield signs, speed limit signs. Signs are everywhere. Signs give us information. And they direct us. They tell us which way to go. So signs are good things. So we're familiar with signs. And religiously, signs are something that are significant. That word significant has the word sign in it. And so I want to tell you about the most significant sign that we see every day. And that's the sign of Jonah. Years ago, if you know the Passionists well, and most of you do, here in the Eastern Province, they used to produce a magazine called Sign Magazine, and it was all about the cross of Jesus, the crucifix of Jesus. And then, of course, those of you who know the Passionists, you're familiar with our habit, and Honor habit is not a badge. Some people think it's a badge, but actually we call it our sign. And within this sign, you will see a cross with a heart beneath it. And within the heart are three words in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Hebrew, Latin, and Greek were the three languages of the cross. Above the cross of Jesus was put Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, in three languages. Well, in these three languages, we have the passion of Jesus Christ. And we wear this on our heart. And again, it's not a badge, it's a sign. And our first vow is to remember this great sign of Jonah and to proclaim its meaning to all the people. In a little while, you're all going to be coming forward, and we're going to be blessing you with the relic of St. Anne. And as we do that, asking God's blessing, notice how we do the blessing. We bless you in the sign of the cross. I remember when I was a little boy growing up Catholic, the first prayer I ever learned was a prayer that my mother taught me. It was the sign of the cross. So folks, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that we have a sign to look to. Many people travel far and wide looking for signs. And Jesus said that the one sign that I'm going to give you, there may be other signs, but the predominant sign that we have, the sign of God's love, the sign of his mercy, the sign of forgiveness, the sign of eternal life, is the sign of Jonah, the cross, the crucifix of Jesus Christ. St. Paul of the Cross, the founder of our religious community, loved to preach about the cross. He founded the Passionists in the 1700s in Italy. And he would travel around preaching parish missions and giving retreats, novenas, all around Italy. Because many people had fallen away from the faith and some priests had become lukewarm. And so he loved to preach about the cross as the crux of Catholicism. The cross as the crux of Christianity. And he would point to the cross and he'd say, you know, people are looking for miracles. This is the miracle of miracles. He said it's the most overwhelming work of God's love. And he said everything is to be found in the cross. So what a beautiful sign God is giving us. You look on the top of our beautiful basilica here, you see the cross. You can see it from miles around up here on this hill. Many of you are wearing crosses around your neck. Some people have it tattooed on their arms. Other people wear it for earrings. So we're familiar with the sign, but as a vow, we profess to meditate on this sign of the cross and also to proclaim its meaning. And that's what I want to do this morning to some degree. I have to tell you, you know, I was born and brought up Catholic in Massachusetts. I was baptized as an infant, and I was confirmed in the eighth grade. And I grew up at the local church, and, you know, we used to go to church every Sunday. And then after my confirmation, like many teenagers do, I fell away from the church. Just didn't seem like church was meeting my needs, and nothing seemed to be happening. So I was the youngest of three children, and once my parents got us through the sacraments, as they called it, I didn't have to go to church anymore. So during high school, I really didn't go to church except for Christmas and Easter, and then pretty much didn't go to a youth group or never attended novenas or missions or anything like that. But I was Catholic, just wasn't a participating Catholic like many are. So I remember I got into college, and you know, I grew up in Massachusetts, in Springfield, Massachusetts. So the place that I went to school was the University of Massachusetts. I was studying business there. Now, I remember when I was a freshman in college, you know, I wanted to meet people from all around Massachusetts. So, you know, the place where I stayed, these big dormitories that they had there at UMass, some of them were high-rises. We had five 22-story high-rise dormitories. And, of course, there were all kinds of little dorms all around the bottoms of them. So, literally, thousands and thousands of students lived in this one little area. I remember I lived up on the 21st floor of one of these dormitories, and the view from up there was just beautiful, especially in the fall when all the leaves were changing. Well, anyway, one Friday afternoon I was walking on campus, and I look up at one of the dormitories, and
on the fifth floor were the plate glass windows where the lounge was. And attached to these lounge windows, it was unmistakable, everybody could see it, were these five big posters. And much to my delight, as I looked up there, this is what it said. It was P-A-R-T-Y, party. And, you know, it was Friday night, and I'm, you know, away at college, and, you know, they're going to have this big mixer. And I'm thinking to myself, this is great. You know, this is going to be a chance to meet the girls and, you know, have a good time. And so what did I do? I got dressed up. And how do you get dressed up when you're 18 years old? Well, put on my best blue jeans and put on my best Angora sweater. And then this is where it gets religious. You know, my mother had given me a sterling silver cross to wear around my neck, and I guess she gave it to me, you know, here's my son going off to college, and, you know, we'll protect him, give him the cross, you know, even though he's not going to church. So I remember I had the sterling silver cross, and it used to glisten whenever the light would hit it. It was very, very pretty, very nice, very handsome. So as I put on the Angora sweater, I'm there in front of the mirror, I put the cross on, and I put it on outside my sweater. See, I was going to the party, and I was hoping that some sweet young thing would take a look at the cross and take a look at me and say, well, there's a Catholic guy. I think I'll go over and talk to him. So anyway, I went to the party, and I was with my friend, and we were standing there, and I mean, it was packed. There were people everywhere. It was just, everybody had seen those signs, and they had come to the party, and just the biggest mixer I've ever seen in my life, girls galore. Guys everywhere. My friend and I are standing there by the wall drinking some punch. And as we're looking, there she was. She was across the room, and blonde hair, blue eyes, 19 years old. Pardon my expression, she was drop-dead gorgeous. And I mean, and she's looking at me and looking at my cross. And I'm thinking to myself, this thing's working like a charm. You know, they write books about how you pick up girls. This ought to be on page one, you know. So as I'm waiting there and looking around, because that's the reason why I came to the party after all, and here she comes. She starts coming across the room right over to me. You know, I tried to stand up nice and straight and tall and give a little smile and everything. She walked right over to me. Beautiful girl. Looks at my cross, looks me right in the eyes, and she says, "Do you know what that cross means? Or are you just wearing it to look good?" And you know what I told her? I said, "Of course I know what it means. I grew up Catholic." And I walked away from her. I had no clue. I was wearing the symbol of all that is holy, the symbol of all that is sacrificial, the symbol of all that is redemptive, for my own self-aggrandizement, so that I could pick up a girl. Well, God's sense of humor, I guess. As you can see by what I'm wearing, I didn't get the girl, but I did get a dress. But something happened to me that year that I have to tell you. I came to the cross. I believed in Jesus' death for me. I trusted that he died for me personally. And I received forgiveness for my sins, and there were many. I was touched by the grace of God, and now my life is totally different. And something else happened that I have to share with you. The theme of this is passion for Christ because of the passion of Christ. And I have to tell you that as I received forgiveness by his death for me, as I realized that he loved me unconditionally and personally, that I realized that that sign was for me, all of a sudden, I began to have this, the only word way to put it is this fire, this passion, this yearning and burning deep within for Jesus. I wanted to grow in a relationship with him. I wanted to know my Savior. I wanted to deepen what we had. He had gone to the cross for me, and so I wanted to know this person who died for me and forgave me and redeemed me and saved me, and I knew that I was on the way to eternal life. I remember years ago there was a song out by a singer named Linda Ronstadt, and the song that she sang was called Heat Wave. And she kept singing over and over again, "My love is like a heat wave." And that's exactly what came over me. It was like a heat wave of fire, of passion, of enthusiasm, of grace that came over me. And I'm praying today, as you hear about the sign of Jonah, that a heat wave for Jesus will come over you. Those of you watching TV, that you would know Jesus in a personal way, that you would know that he died for you personally, that you would know that you can have eternal life through Christ. And my life will never be the same. You see, the passion of Christ leads to passion for Christ. And so God has given us a sign today, folks. And I pray that you'll look to that sign. God may give you other signs, but this is the one sign that he has given us, the sign that the Passionists have proclaimed for 250 to 300 years, the sign that's been proclaimed by the church throughout history, the sign of Jonah, the sign of the cross. You know, sometimes people will come to me to confession, and they'll say, "Father, I want to make a general confession, and it's been years, and I have all these sins from the past, and I still feel guilty." And what I say to them is, look to the cross. He died for you personally. There's no need for you to feel guilty. Give him your guilt and shame. Or people will come to me and say, "Father, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself." Trust in the cross. You can forgive yourself. He'll take your burden. You know, down beneath, we're going to invite you to go to confession. There are many priests down there. We hope that you'll celebrate the sacrament of the cross of reconciliation. Lay your burdens down. Receive his unconditional love for you. Know that you're on the way to heaven. Those of you watching by TV, some of you haven't been going to church. Some of you haven't gone to confession in years. Maybe you've fallen away like I used to be. God is calling you. Surrender yourself to Jesus. Give yourself to him at the cross. Be reborn with eternal life. I invite you to go to confession. Have a rebirth. God will touch you and raise you up. How do you get passion for Christ? By trusting in the passion of Christ. And may the passion of our Lord be always in our hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Was this beautiful prayer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It was the sign of the cross. And when you think about it, the horizontal beam of the cross and the vertical beam of the cross, they provide the ultimate plus sign. You see, everything is positive about Jesus dying for us. There's salvation, there's redemption, there's forgiveness. Everything is positive in the cross. I want to share with you what happened to me when I was a seminarian. I had the privilege as a Passionist seminarian to study in Israel, in the Holy Land. And I spent 3 months over there. And one of the days I was over there, I knew the Franciscans that have custody of a church in the Holy Land called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is one of the oldest churches in Israel. And we believe that it was built right over the spot of Golgotha, of Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. So I knew one of the Franciscans, and they allowed me to go into the church on one of the days that they locked it, and there was no pilgrims were permitted to go into the church. So I was able to go into the church for 3 hours. I couldn't leave. Nobody could come in. Once it was locked, I was stayed in there. And if you go into the church, it's very beautiful. It was built over a limestone quarry, and you have to actually go up some steps. We believe it was the Mount of Golgotha, the Hill of Calvary. You go up the steps, and up on the top, there's an altar. And underneath the altar, there's a hole down there where you can actually reach down and touch the limestone quarry, where we believe was the top of the Mount of Calvary, where Jesus died. So Mass is presided at up there, and many prayers. And so I had it all to myself. There was nobody there. And I was up there on the Mount of Calvary, and I sat there with my Bible, and I read about the crucifixion, and I remember as I prayed, and I had that beautiful silent time, I remember sensing deep in my heart the agony and the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through. If you've ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, you know how horrifying, how violent it was, the blood that was shed. Oftentimes, you know, we don't use our imagination, but this was torture and agony, and Jesus was put to death in the most horrible of ways. And I remember as I reflected upon it and as I read about it, I thought that, first of all, I thought, thank you, Lord, that you did this for me, that my sins are forgiven, that I now have eternal life. And I remember when I was a young man that I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this came not because I was good or because I deserved it or because I earned it. I was filled with the Holy Spirit because that's the seal of God when you're saved. In other words, God pours out his Spirit upon you to tell you that you're loved, that you're saved, that you're on the way to heaven, and it's the foretaste of heaven. Well, as I sat there and I reflected upon what Jesus had done for me, I was a seminarian at the time, and I remember praying. I said, Lord, you know, I believe you've called me to priesthood. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I promise you this. When I become a priest, I will proclaim to the people what happened on this mount. Your love for us, how much you suffered for us, and how you died for every person, and that you love us unconditionally. I promised the Lord, and that's what I'm doing right now, I promised the Lord that I would tell everybody about how deep and great his love is for us. And we Passionists, you see, over my heart, I have what's called our sign. We Passionists meditate on the cross, and we vow, our first vow is to proclaim the Passion to all the people, to proclaim the most overwhelming work of God's love. You see, St. Paul of the Cross was the founder of the Passionists, and he had a saying. He said that the cross is the most overwhelming work of God's love. I mean, out of all the things that God has done, he created you, he created the heavens and the earth. The Passion is the most overwhelming work of God's love. It's the miracle of miracles. And everything is to be found in the Passion. The Passion is packed with good news. Remember what I just told you. It's the ultimate positive plus sign. Everything is good in the Passion. That's why we call it Good Friday. So I promised the Lord that I would proclaim because of what God has done for me, and the meaning and how much Jesus suffered for us. And I want to tell you that Jesus came for you. See, the whole reason why I broadcast these programs is because I want you to know that he suffered and died for you. Now, maybe you don't have a great past, or maybe you haven't been going to church. Maybe you have been going to church. A lot of people go to church and think that saves them. Well, that's not what saves you. It's Jesus and his death on the cross that saves you. And maybe you do have a storied past. We all do. Skeletons in the closet. Well, I want to tell you, that's exactly why Jesus came. He came to forgive you. He suffered and died to save you. He wants you to have eternal life. The message is for you as much as it is for me, the Pope, or anybody else. All you have to do is receive it, believe it, and accept it. Listen to this really quickly. Comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. We have it read on Good Friday. And it says that he has borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. We esteemed him smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And we, like sheep, have all gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon him the guilt of us all. And I love that. It's read every Good Friday. You see, that's why Jesus came, to bear our guilt, to bear our sins, to bear our shame. And I'm going to invite you to give yourself to the Lord Jesus right now. Would you pray with me? Some of you haven't been going to church and you're not sure about Jesus and you don't know him as your Savior. I want you to have a blessed assurance and pray with me. Jesus, I believe you suffered and died for me. I surrender to you. Take my life, my heart. I want to live for you. I believe that I'm forgiven and on the way to heaven. Amen. If you listened to me and you prayed with me, I know that God's doing a beautiful work in you. I want to tell you about the first book that I ever wrote. It's called Live Passionately. I want to give you that book. You can go to my website, download it. It's there, available for you. There are some booklets available for you that will help you to follow Jesus. I also invite you to order any of my books that will help you to follow Jesus, to know salvation in a deep, personal way. And I'm so grateful that you tuned into the program. This program is for you, and this program will help you to have eternal life. Remember, don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.